Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We wish you the very best in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for also being with us today, because we can do nothing without you, but we can do all things through you. So we thank you today for enabling us to share something with the brethren that will be useful in their prayer life. Thank you, Lord, for helping people to learn to pray, because, as you say, we have not because we ask not. So thank you, Father. All right, saints. Well, you remember the last time we spoke on this, I shared with you that a warring angel that attends our meetings and appears ever so often, he appeared to us to tell us to pray the word. Pray the word. Then he showed his weapons that he was going to use against the enemy when we did that. And so we've learned one thing, that a lot of people don't pray, they're not covering all the bases, and basically you have not because you ask not, according to James 4 and 2. And of course, we want to pray. We want to cover the things. Many times people go to pray and they tire out quickly and they kind of give up and they back away from it, because a lot of times they go to pray and they can't think of something to pray, or they run out of something to pray very quickly. You never run out of something to pray if you pray the word. Never. And you will cover all things, because if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions which we have asked of him. So you know that he's hearing these prayers of Paul and James and Peter and David and, you know. We know because they're according to the will of God. They were written by the Holy Spirit. Now, not everything is posted in the Bible as a prayer, but you can pray every one of them, you know. And this will keep you busy covering things you really, really need to cover for yourselves, for your friends, and so on. So I thought of a prayer that I would like to pray for you. It's Philippians chapter 1. And I think I'm going to read from 3 to 11. So, Father, we just ask you to help the brethren out there to agree in prayer. Your word says, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. So, I pray that they all come into agreement and pray this from their heart, too. And Paul said, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine, every prayer of mine, on behalf of you all, making my supplication with joy. Amen. So we do obviously pray for you, and we're praying this prayer for you today. For your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now. Amen. Your fellowship, that means having in common this furtherance of the gospel. Always praying, always interceding that the gospel can get out there and touch people. There are many enemies of the gospel who would like to destroy the things that God has revealed, and have tried very hard to do that. And of course, they're all going to fail. And God is going to be absolutely successful. And that's because of your prayers, your intercessions, and your going to God for the people around you to give them the good news. And holding fast to that good news, right? Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Well, amen. Lord, that's what I desire for all the brethren out there that are listening, Lord, that they're constantly walking in the light, constantly growing in him, constantly praying the word, constantly receiving what they pray for and believe for. The promises didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard, so that they constantly will hold fast to the faith, hold fast to the confession of their hope, that waver not, for he is faithful and promised. Even as it is right for me to be thus minded on behalf of you all, it is right for us to believe this for everyone, for God's people, not just for ourselves, but for others, you know, that God's going to finish the good work he started, right, in them. Because I have you in my heart. Of course, if you love someone, you're going to be praying and believing for them, not criticizing them, not, you know, doing the things that are not helpful to them, not bludgeoning them with the word, or but being careful and giving grace, you know, where grace is needed, right? Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Amen. We're all partakers of the good news, the promises of God. Keep them on your mind. Keep them in front of your eyes, Lord. And when you're reading them in the scriptures, pray for those things that you need. Pray for those things that you need for others, too, while you're doing it. For God is my witness how I long after you and all the tender mercies of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So true. I pray that everyone out there is drawing near to God. Here we are coming to the Day of Atonement. And according to the types and the shadows of the days that are kept by the Jews, and I think God gave this to them, you know, the Day of Atonement is a day of decision for those who are under the blood and for those who are not under the blood. It's a day of curse and a blessing for the next year until the next Day of Atonement. And that is that those that are not walking under the blood will go through a year of death, destruction, chastening, whatever's necessary to bring one to repentance or remove them. And, you know, these also, you know, obviously there are those who are under the blood who will increase in blessing for the next year. So that's interesting that we've come to that day right now. Very interesting. And for God is my witness how I long after you in all the tender mercies of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Yes, Lord, I pray that. I pray that for all of my brethren out there, that they grow in love. God is love. If we are going to be godly and sons of God, we got to be love too. Thank you, Father, for doing this in us. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. Yes, we need to know the things that are good and the things that are bad, right? We need to have discernment. Love is one of the main tools. That and the knowledge and discernment that comes with it, you know, in verse 9. Yes, we need this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us recognize the evil and recognize the good and turn away from the evil, Father. So that you may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of Christ. Well, Day of Atonement is kind of a day of Christ, you know. It's a day when the atonement is made by the sacrifice for those who are under the blood. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Yes. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Yes. Lord, you made reconciliation for all of my brethren out there, which is an exchange of your righteousness for their failure, their sins, their curse, and your blessing instead of their curse. You made this reconciliation, this exchange, Lord. And we thank you for fulfilling it by giving the fruits of Jesus Christ to everyone who agrees. And we thank you for it. The gospel is the power of God to save the one who believes, right? Okay, and another prayer I'm going to pray here is chapter 1, verse 27, on through 2 and 9. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let's face it. The Lord offers the good news to you. If you don't take it, somebody will. Don't let anybody take your crown. We're exhorted, right? Let your life be worthy of one who has been given a very precious gift and values it and values the truth greatly. Because when God sees you value the truth, He'll give you more. And so let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Jesus. So that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. One. He wants us to be one. He wants us to dwell together in unity. And, of course, there are the wicked out there that are constantly working against oneness and unity of the body. Jesus' last prayer was, I pray that they may be one, even as we are one, speaking to the Father. And, of course, this is what the Lord wants for His people, unity and oneness. That's why sectarianism and denominationalism and faction and lots of other isms are antichrist. All right? Verse 28, and in nothing be affrighted by the adversaries. You don't have to worry about them. Their doom is sealed by the Scriptures. Nothing affrighted by the adversaries, which is for them an evident token of perdition, which means destruction. But of your salvation, that's right. You know, when the adversaries come against you, that's a good sign. I mean, they came against all men of God and women of God throughout the Scriptures, and including Jesus. So that is a good sign for you, that they don't like you. A man is known by his enemies. Right? Look at the crazy enemies out there that are constantly lying about Trump and about his administration and so on. And, of course, we can see that that's all coming to an end. You know, not that the enemy's not going to strike back. I do believe that they will. They always have. So you need to be prepared for that, because there are some people in Christianity who, let's face it, need to be struck back. They're keeping God's people in bondage. So, but it's a token of your salvation that they hate you and speak against you and faction against you and these things. And that comes from God, right? Because to you it has been granted in behalf of Christ. Not, it's a, in other words, it's a gift. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer in His behalf. Yes, we suffer the loss of the old man. We have crucifixions that we go through to perfect us and mature us and cause us to walk in the love and cause us to be obedient to the Lord. Amen? Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Yes, the same thing that happened to Paul will happen to us. So you should expect these things, and you know, not be frightened by the adversaries and not be turned away because of the crucifixions that you go through. This is the crucified life. It brings us into the image of Jesus Christ, just as baptism brings us into a death, burial, and resurrection, meaning, of course, the life of Christ, right? As He is, even so are we in this world. We have the resurrection life of Christ. Amen. If there is therefore any exhortation in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy, that you be of the same mind. Now remember, this is not just Paul speaking. This is the Holy Spirit speaking for God Himself. This is God speaking. So don't just take this as from Paul. Take this as from God, as a word from Him. So he says, and make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Amen. We coming into the unity because we hold the scriptures high. All those that don't hold the scriptures high and don't obey the scriptures, of course, they're not there for unity. They're there for self, and should be watched carefully. And eventually the Lord, if they don't change their mind, they will be removed, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And 1 Corinthians 5 basically says God's going to do that. So, doing nothing through faction or through vain glory. Nothing to promote self, which is what faction does. Nothing to cause division. Nothing to cause anybody to stumble. Remember, he's going to remove from his kingdom all those that cause stumbling and do offense, right? Or through vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, each counting others better than himself. Yes, we came to be servants, didn't we? Lord, I pray that everyone who is listening today will have this mind of the servant that we are to be to the brethren around us, to the men around us, to the world around us, a servant. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Amen. So, you know, remember others' needs. When you give, it is given unto you. Right? If you see your brother in need and you withhold from him, how does the love of God abide in you? Now, that is not just physical need. Sometimes it's a spiritual need, but we are to look out to serve people through the gospel, the good things that we have been given. If you don't have it, you can't give it away. When you read the scriptures and you believe the promises, you have it. You can pray it. You say, Lord, I want that, or Lord, I don't want this. I don't want this in my life. Mention it before the Lord. He's hearing your prayers. It's according to his will. You have the petition which you've asked of him, right? But also to the things of others. Don't each of you look to his own things, but to the things of others. And have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God. So he wants us to think the way that Jesus thinks, right? And this is a prayer too of mine for you, that you will think the way Jesus thinks, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped or clutched to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, right? Even though we are by faith sons of God and we have awesome privileges, kingdom privileges, we are here to be a servant, right? A servant to one another, just as every member of the body serves the body as a whole, and a servant to those who are coming out of the world and into the kingdom. And being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. God gives grace to the humble, but the proud he resists, right? And if we're humble, we can receive the grace of God in all forms. We need God's favor, and we get it because of humility. Becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And of course, Jesus said, if we don't take up our cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciple. A disciple is one who is a learner and a follower, a mathetes. They study the king to know how to get there, where he is, right? And when we study the king, we see he showed himself as a servant, willing to lose his life in order to give us that gain, right? Yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name. Amen. And truly, the Lord will do the same for us. He will give us a name above every name. A name means nature, character, and authority. He will bless us. He will deliver us. So, you know what? I want to pray another prayer for me. I hope you'll agree with that. And for anybody out there who is suffering at the hands of the wicked, which is a normal thing, as we just read. It's a normal thing. They are the ones that help us to our cross. Of course, their reward is very bad for doing this, just as Judas's reward was. And, you know, but this is a prayer. This was written as a prayer, and it's also a Psalm of David. So I asked the Lord recently, I said, "What's the next plot against us?" You know what he gave me? Psalm 35, 7 and 8. I'll read that to you first before I read the rest of it. "For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul." Folks, I want to tell you, if this is not happening in the religious world around you, you're an exception. But it's definitely happened in the world. They have laid traps for you to destroy you. And I'm talking about the deep state faction, you know. They have laid traps for you to destroy you, and they are not through yet. Everybody is celebrating, but I got to tell you, they're not through yet. So, but without a cause, you know, have they done this? Because they hate. You know, the communists, the Muslims, the homosexuals, they all have a common enemy that they count their enemy more than anybody else. And it's you. That's right. And those that have religious ambition should be put in there with them. They want to rule over you. So what does he say? "For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. With destruction let him fall therein." Well, I got to tell you, it is happening in the deep state government. It is happening, of course, as we watch. But it's also happening in the deep state church, because the church also has its false and evil people who proclaim to have authority and persecute the righteous. Okay, so let me just pray this prayer. I'm going to start in 35 and 1. And you agree with me, okay? And the heading up there is prayer. It calls it a prayer to rescue from enemies. "Strive thou, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Remember, you have not because you ask not." And here's a prayer from David. There are Davids nowadays that are in this exact position, but all of you out there, in a way, can be Davids, you know, persecuted by the wicked around you. "Strive with them, because they strive with me. Fight thou against them that fight against me." Yes, we're not to wrestle with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, but the Lord wrestles with them. Yes, he does. "Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help." Well, amen, Lord. We agree together that you will fight our battles for us. We don't have to fight with flesh and blood. We can fight the principalities and the powers and the rulers of this darkness. And they will lose if we do that. We will lose if we fight the fight of the flesh, right? "Draw out the spear and stop the way against them that pursue me." Lord, we pray this for both the government faction and the church faction. In the name of Jesus, Draw out your spear and stop the way of them. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Amen. Well, the Lord, you are our salvation. You have already saved us out of the power of darkness. We are delivered, and you gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. We are delivered. Many times we don't take that authority, and that gets us hurt. But, Lord, we're learning how to pray the word. Believe what you say. Bring these things to pass. We thank you for it. I am thy salvation. Let them be put to shame and brought to dishonor that seek after my soul. Well, what we can see in the physical world, in the governmental world, we're seeing in the church world too. They're coming to dishonor. And we thank you, Father, for that, in Jesus' name. The wicked always should come to dishonor. Justice, your people love justice, Lord, just as you love justice. And we love to see people either get saved, which is our preference, or be proven who they are and taken out of ability to hurt your people. Thank you, Father. Let them be put to shame and brought to dishonor that seek after my soul. Amen. It'll be so. It is the word of the Lord. Let them be turned back and confounded that devise my hurt. Amen. The Lord says, I will curse them that curse thee, and I will bless them that bless thee. It is written in God's word. It will come to pass. It's something we can believe. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to protect your children against those who, in some cases, claim to be your children and are not. Because whatsoever is born of you is like you. So, let them be as chaff before the wind, and the angel of the Lord driving them on. Yes, Lord, we call it so. It's done. It's your word. You agree with it. It's done. Let their way be dark and slippery, and the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Yes, I pray that everyone who is under the curse of the word because they mistreat God's people, that they will have enough, that they will count the cost, and that the curses that God himself has put upon them will turn them to him. We pray. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. That's what the Bible says. So, because sentence against an evil work isn't executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So, a chastening can turn people. Don't try to get the chastening off of someone who's walking in wickedness, because that's what they need is chastening, something to make them pay attention, right? For without cause have they hid for me their net in the pit. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Well, this is common all through scriptures. The Lord says the same exact thing so many different ways. You can guarantee that that's exactly what he does. And this is the way he quite often saves his people from the hands of the wicked, is that they lay a trap and they fall into it themselves. Look at the people in the government who have laid a trap for you, and they have now fallen into it. Look at the faction who have laid a trap for you, tried to destroy the word of God, and now they're falling into it too. They think that no one knows what they've done, and that they won't come to dishonor, as the Bible says, but that's a lie. Let his net that he hath hid catch himself. With destruction let him fall therein. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. Yes, God will save His people from the wicked. Make sure you're walking in Him and abiding in Him. Make sure you're under the Passover. You know, we've been in this 10 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur, the sacrifice for our sins, the Day of Atonement. And during these 10 days, we, according to the traditions that the Lord handed down, we're supposed to be making things right, you know, with the Lord, right? All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? Who delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that robbeth him. Yep, the enemy is a thief and a robber consistently. He has come to destroy, right? But the Lord is going to repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? Unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. They reward me evil for good, to the bereaving of my soul. Well, we know that the Lord has said that whosoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. People want to know why they're constantly living under a curse, because they have rewarded God's people evil for good. That's the curse that God spoke upon them. There's only one way out: repentance and making things right. You must forgive everyone from the heart, or as the Lord said in Matthew 18:34-35, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors. Many people are living under tormentors and they don't know it, because they have unforgiveness towards someone else. They think that they should have forgiveness from God, but they don't think anybody else should deserve any forgiveness from God, so they judge. And the Lord says in Romans chapter 1, end of 1 and the beginning of 2, that if you judge, you will judge yourself. Right? What you sow, you will reap. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting. This is, of course, what God expects of us. You know, all of us, you know, to have pity and to have mercy as He did with us, and to forgive as He did with us. I afflicted my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Why? Well, because this person wasn't worthy of the gospel, obviously. They are reaping what they sow, and some prayers are not according to the word, and we don't always know that. We don't always know who it is that's under the chastening of God. You know, Paul turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. So if he turned him over to Satan for chastening, that's what he needed. That was the thing that was needed the most for this person, is to be turned over to Satan for chastening, so that they will repent. Some people, you know, don't realize that God uses the devil to chasten. He uses the curse to chasten. And if a person, you know, is self-willed and needs to be broken down, God can do that, and He will do it. But He wants us to be merciful because He wants us not to judge. That does not mean He will not judge, but He wants us to not judge. He said, I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down mourning as one that bewaileth his mother. Amen. But he said his prayer returned to him. You know, it didn't go to heaven, obviously. But in mine adversity they rejoiced, and gathered themselves together. In other words, this is not a worthy person he was praying for, and God proved it to him. One person recently who had fallen into faction and we'd been praying for, the Lord gave us a word, a clear word, don't pray for him anymore. And of course, God had given him up to this reprobation. So he said, don't do it anymore. He's gone too far. He does that sometimes. And then there's the people that you run into who've got a spirit of condemnation on them, and they're constantly thinking they went too far. And it's really just the devil tormenting them, taking away their faith so that they can't be justified by faith. And so they're separated from God because they're not able to have faith in the gospel. So the devil don't care which side he gets you off on, the right or the left, you know. He just wants to get you off the trail, right? Off the narrow path. Prayer is important. The abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. Yep, they, you know, when you see people, that's the only ministry they have is to tear someone else down, to criticize. Guess who they are? Yes, they're the enemy. They're the wicked. Like the profane mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul. Amen. From their destructions. Yes, Lord, I pray that, you know, for myself and for all those out there who are going through crucifixions by the wicked. Or attempting, the wicked is attempting to deceive them or destroy them in some way or plunder them in some way. Lord, thank you for rescuing the soul of your people from destructions. My darling, from the lions. Yeah, you know, the lions are predators. They want to devour you, right? I will give thee thanks in the great assembly. I will praise thee among much people. Yes, for the victory that God is sending, you know, over the wicked, over their plots and their schemes. The devil is able to use them because of evil in their heart. And yet, if they come to repentance, they can be saved from that evil. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Amen. Think about David. How many of the Psalms were about the wicked coming against him? How many? Why is that? Well, it was true for David. It was true for Jesus. I guarantee you it's true for the Davids nowadays. Jesus was, of course, the son of David who suffered at their hands, the wicked's hands. And, of course, in these days, history always repeats, always. It just repeats on a larger scale, right? So we know what God's purpose is. It's a bringing of crucifixion, and in so doing, crucifying the old man who wants to share the throne with the new man, and it can't happen, right? So he says, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hateth me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful words against them that are quiet in the land. They're predators. Yes, they're predators. And the Lord will stop them. And the Lord just wants us to put our trust in Him. That's all we have to do. He's going to bring an end to their raging, right? Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me. And they said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. In other words, they're looking for an excuse to come against those whom the devil hates. Amen. Thou hast seen it, O Lord. In other words, the Lord sees it. He's the one that sees it. David said it was without a cause. In other words, not a just cause. Thou hast seen it, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to the justice due unto me. Yes, Lord, we ask you to rise up against the wicked, much like you did in the political world when the Obama administration and Hillary were plotting against the just and against the righteous. They had a plan, they had a scheme, but the Lord brought it down. And he's going to continue to bring it down to the Red Sea. Amen. Even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Amen. Victory has been given to God's people. He redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy, according to Luke chapter 1. It's part of our redemption to be delivered out of the hand of the enemy. You know, Jesus wasn't delivered out of the hand of the enemy because he bore the curse for us. He became accursed for us. God put the curse on him and gave us the blessing, right? Amen. And in these days, there are people being raised up much like the prophets and much like David and much like Jesus and on. You know, Jeremiah, who bear the burdens of the wicked and go to their cross and are very useful in bringing those that are called of God to election, right? To be chosen. Let them not say in their heart, aha, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Amen. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that rejoice at my hurt. Yes, you know, the righteous, even though they know who their enemies are, it's very obvious, they don't desire their hurt. They desire their salvation. The righteous do. They hope and pray that that they will be servants of God one day and totally changed in heart. And you know, the Apostle Paul was a good example, one who persecuted God's people, but he also became the greatest of the apostles. And he was like he had something to prove. He wanted to undo what he did. And praise God. There are others out there who are being put to shame for the purpose of granting them repentance so that they can turn and become a child of God and serve God and serve his kingdom. And just remember, you know, when you're tempted to be angry with them, just remember that God can change them in a moment. He is testing you with them. He's testing you with them. But then when he's through, he'll do one of two things. He'll either destroy them or he'll bring them into the kingdom because of their shame. Verse 26 says, let them be put to shame and confounded together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Shame can cause people to do one of two things. They can repent, or they can get worse to try to defend themselves. Yeah. Let them shout for joy. This is, of course, those that favor the righteous. He said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And Lord, we do desire that you will prosper everyone that is your elect from the foundation of the world, it really matters not where they are now. It matters where they end up. And we pray that all those who have been evil and been used of vessels of dishonor and have denied the Lord like Peter, or worse, they're Judases. Of course, Judases don't get turned around. They're shown the door. They hang themselves with their own hands. Their own works are what destroy them, you know. And my tongue shall talk of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much, Father, that you've given us these awesome prayers. We know, Lord, that your work in the earth is, you never just do one thing at a time. You're a great coordinator, and are able to save the people like Paul, the people like Peter who denied him. You're able to do all these things, Lord. We pray for those that are ultimately going to be a part of your kingdom, that their sins will be forgiven, that they will be delivered, that they will be mighty in the coming harvest. Thank you so much for those righteous people who are even going through times of persecution and self-justification and things. The Lord said to Peter, you know, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail you. And yes, though he did do just what he said, he denied him before the cock crowed, and but it was a shame to him, and the failure, you know, brought him into a better place with God. Okay, I think I'll, here's a Psalm of David, chapter 11. It says, "In the Lord do I take refuge. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. Yes, they do everything slyly. They hide, they steal, they destroy, but they don't want to be known for what they are, you know. And so, Lord, we ask you to reveal the hidden things of these people so that they will be found out and brought to shame and come to repentance. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Yes, that's what they want to do. They want to destroy. They don't recognize that this is the reason that they bring down websites that teach God's people, but it is the demons in them that are having what they want to do done. And of course, these are willing vessels that they have found, right? "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. Lord, his throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." Yes, we're all being tried, right? "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth." Yes, the Lord has hatred, and he has a right to have hatred. He has a right to judge, right? And "Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup." That's from the Lord's hand, who has a right to judge, right? But he tells us to pray for our enemies until, of course, he tells us not to, because in some cases they've been reprobated. But we hope that that doesn't happen. We hope that all will come to repentance, you know. "For the Lord is righteous. He loveth righteousness. The upright shall behold his face." Amen. The upright shall behold his face. This is the test. This is the trial. We're in it. You know, we need to cover ourselves in prayer, others around us in prayer. We need to pray for the things that we lack. We find those things out when we read the Bible. You know, if you sit down every day to read your Bible, just remember to pray it when you read it, you know. You don't have, you're not there to just consume a chapter, you know, feed your own soul, you know. You're there to see what are the needs of the brethren around you. You're there to see about your own needs, the needs of your children, your loved ones, in the days ahead. Cover your family, even your lost family. Cover them in prayer. There is some very drastic judgments coming upon the world, and God hears your prayers for them. Hold fast to your prayers for them. God will bring them to pass. You know, it was a lamb for a household. Household salvation was preached. And the whole household partook of that lamb. Father, we thank you, Lord, that everyone out there is partaking of the benefits of your gospel, your very good news, that the lamb was slain to deliver us from sin and its curse. And Jesus became accursed for us. And that was for the purpose of us receiving Abraham's blessings. So, Lord, here we are coming to this day of atonement. And the Lamb can bear the sins of those who will repent and confess his sacrifice, the Lamb. And that is the atonement. It is the covering. Atonement means a covering. It's a covering for your sin, for your past life, for your failures. And the righteous are justified by faith, the Bible says, and not by their works. Many people try to please God in their works, try to please God with fasting, try to please God with atoning for their own sins in many different ways. And it's not acceptable. Not to say that fasting, for instance, isn't good. It's good. It's good to put down your own flesh, but you're not going to atone for your sins with it. So the Lord wants us to give up trying to atone for our sins. He's already done that. You're trying to ignore his sacrifice and go around by your own self-righteousness and atone yourself, you'll fail. So, and God can't accept it. There's only one sacrifice. There's only one atonement. It's Jesus. Jesus was crucified for us. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And when we repent and we confess our failures and our sins, and we look to him, we believe that our curse was put upon him, that we are accounted righteous. And when we try of ourselves to get rid of sin, we're not accounted righteous, because we have to accept that the Lord did that on the cross. And when we first do that, then we can have power from God over sin and over the curse. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in delivering your people and in setting the captives free. And in these days, Lord, I pray that everyone who is out there is getting prepared. There is a Passover coming of sorts. We were told the spring was coming in the fall. And as you know, the first month of the year, on the 14th day, was the Passover. And now we have this secular year that we're in the first month of now. And since spring is coming in fall, we are going to have a Passover. A Passover of the judgment that is to fall upon this world and upon the wicked in the body of Christ. Make sure you're under the Passover, because you have faith in the Passover lamb and you have repented of going your own way. Amen. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. All right, saints, God bless you, keep you. Thank you so much for praying for us. We're doing the same for you. And we love you. We pray for you constantly. We have our morning prayer meetings and one evening prayer meeting. And we pray for you, and we pray for the country. We pray for a turnaround, you know, of the country into this political revival that's coming and happening. And please keep them in prayer. And pray, by the way, that they're not able to assassinate the people that can talk too much from their own people. They'll, of course, blame it on someone else, but they assassinate their own people if they get put in a position to talk too much. So pray for those people, too, that their witness will be gotten out, that the wicked will turn against the wicked, as they do. Thank you so much, Father, for that. All right, saints, God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime.